Welcome to Girls in High Places with Maddie Monk. Here we go. Hey lovelies, and welcome back to Girls in High Places, the place where you hear from relatable, boundary-pushing female role models to learn from and aspire to be. I'm your host, Maddie Monk, and you are in for a treat with this episode. We chat to the fun-loving and super insightful Abby Pontin, a longevity client manager over at Munich Re. Abby works within a part of Munich Re called the UK Life Branch, focusing on life and health product insurance. We dive deep into her role and how really okay it is to not know your exact career path straight away. Abby chats about how important culture and community can be to your job, as well as highlighting potential courses that could be of benefit if you were considering a career within this field. We also explore what it's like to be a female working within the financial industry. I just loved chatting to Abby. The conversation was incredibly enlightening, and I just can't wait for you all to hear it. Apologies for the minor interruptions within this audio. With COVID restrictions still in place, we caught up over the internet, and let's just say my Wi-Fi was not playing ball. If you enjoy today's episodes, please share a review on Apple Podcasts and make sure to jump over to our Instagram page at girls_inhighplaces to view the main highlights from this episode. Thank you all so much for listening, and I really hope you enjoy. Here we go. Firstly, I feel it would be really useful if you could talk me through your current role as a longevity client manager over at Munich. And then I suppose, what are your responsibilities? What are the overarching aims of the company? And then more particularly, what do your team look after?
Yes, so I guess in simple terms, so Munich Re is a huge reinsurer. It's like one of the biggest global reinsurers in the world. And reinsurance is essentially insuring products or liabilities that have already been insured. So we're insuring something that's already been insured. And further to that, people insure what we've reinsured. So there's just like long chains of, you know, passing off the risk. And so I work in a part of Munich Re called the UK Life Branch, which specializes in life and health products. So that's kind of like around basically how long people will live for, insuring life insurance, critical illness. So if someone was going to get really, really ill or and couldn't work because of their illness, that's the kind of products we look at. And I specifically work on a longevity team as a client relationship manager. So I just manage all the longevity contracts we have and the relationships we have with clients to make sure, I guess, they're happy, trying to get repeat business as well and ensuring that all the contracts we do have in place kind of work in practice. And outside of managing the client relationships we have, we're expected to manage projects across the business, which are a variety of different things. They're not just, you know, specific to our role. And then kind of developing the members on our team who are a little more junior than us and kind of building them up to become client managers at some point.
Okay, amazing. So I suppose at your company then, just to tap into that straight away, you were very supportive of people like pushing them through the business.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so on my side of the team, so I work in the longevity team and we've got kind of like the new business side who kind of generate all that new business, work on like live deals. And then we've got my team, which is who manage the accounts. So once we've won the business, we kind of manage it in our operating model. And there's three account managers and we are not, the last two recruits we've made are assistant account managers, essentially. So assistant client managers, because ideally what we want is to kind of hire younger people who have a lot of potential and build them up, because it's much better to kind of get people through that kind of career progression and build them into being, you know, really good client managers, as opposed to kind of getting people who are already experienced and will put their kind of own swing on things. Yeah. I think it's good to kind of build up younger people and kind of have more progressive people in our team and our company.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose that way as well, it's like you're nurtured through like the company values as well. And I bet it's like a really nice community.
Yeah, it's. I think so. I think, to be honest, our company is really, really young. I mean, we've got people on the board who, you know, they're in their late 20s, early 30s. And I think that's, you know, a really key thing about our culture is not necessarily having young people, but people who are, you know, adaptable and not stuck in their ways and who are going to bring, like, you know, basically fresh new talent to the company and new ideas, basically.
Yeah, definitely. So that's really super interesting. I feel like you summed it up really well. Really well. So I'm actually super interested to find out then, what made you like get into insurance or like consider it as a career like prospect?
To be honest with you, it was just, I kind of fell into it. Yeah. It was really random. I didn't really know anything about insurance, reinsurance, and the particular insurance that I kind of work in is pension insurance. So you're like insuring pension schemes that are really, really old, and it's kind of these companies that have promised to pay people a pension till the day they die, and like a set amount, and it's pretty expensive to pay out. So we kind of pay out those pensions instead and take that risk off them. And I just fell into it because I was traveling when I was younger, basically ran out of money, needed to come home, needed a job, and a recruiter contacted me about a role as a business analyst in a company, in a pension insurance company. And I had to sit like a bunch of aptitude tests before I got the role, had to do like a piece of work on a deal before I got it, and had a bunch of interviews and eventually got the job. And within a month or two of doing that role as a business analyst, I'm pretty good with numbers, I was quite good at maths, and I still am. And after working there for a couple of months, you know, my boss said, you know, you're pretty good at doing X, Y, and Z, why don't you kind of move into an actuarial role and help us with pricing the insurance deals we quote on. So it just kind of happened. Like I didn't really know anything about the industry, anything about the role. It just happened. I was pretty good at it. I really liked the company I worked for, the culture. I really liked the people I worked with, and it just kind of fell into it. So it wasn't something I kind of woke up and thought I want to work in insurance. It just kind of happened, and I liked it really.
Yeah, definitely. But I feel like that's actually really nice, because obviously this podcast is for girls, like women or girls coming out of university that maybe don't 100% know what they want to do. So it kind of like shines a light on the fact that you don't have to know what you want to do straight away. And sometimes saying yes to something can then actually your path kind of finds you.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It just opened, you know, I was very fortunate to have, after I came back from traveling, the company I started working for was a really amazing company. Pretty similar, you know, in values and culture to where I am now, and where I work with your sister, Izzy. And it just opened a lot of doors for me. And I think a lot of, you know, your satisfaction from work is the people you work with. And when you're around, surrounded by like a good community of people, it's pretty great. And people who want to invest time in your progression and stuff, I think is a really big thing. And I don't know if you get that in every company. You know, I have friends that have that and some friends that don't have that at all. So I think I've been pretty fortunate to have that everywhere I've worked, really.
Yeah, but that's really nice that you look for that as like a value, because that can be really important. That can like make a job, really, can't
for sure.
It? Oh, is that, you've probably answered this question already then, so probably don't need to ask you. I was going to ask you what has kept you working within the financial services industries, but I feel like you've ticked that box already.
I mean, as well as obviously liking the companies I've been in, fortunately, you know, you get, it's pretty good pay. Obviously, an element of what you do for work is, you know, you want to get paid good money so you can live a good life outside of work. I suppose it's pretty well known, obviously, in financial services, you will get kind of the monetary reward is good, whether it's bonuses, pay rise, or just salary. And especially in the last year, you know, you want stability in a job, and the financial services industry is not really going to struggle too much in a pandemic. So, I mean, we've been very, very fortunate, you know, my colleagues and I to still be in a job, and you know, business is still going well. So, yeah, that stability is really key right now, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I was just out of curiosity, really. Has it been similar to working in the office than at home then? Has it been pretty much the same? Have you been able to do everything that you would do?
Yeah, like in terms of doing the job, like I don't think productivity has dropped at all, apart from like having IT issues, really. But I think everything's been pretty much the same. And even before the pandemic, so Munich Re, our policy is a flexible working policy. So essentially, you don't have set working hours. You have to work, I think it's like 37 and a half hours a week, but it can technically be worked anytime. But generally, given, you know, you have teams that you have meetings with, you would work in you kind of 9 to 5 hours. But yeah, so we worked from home a lot before, and we were kind of set up to do that. I don't think we were set up to do it at the scale that, you know, the pandemic made us all working at home.
Isn't it?
It was a bit of a nightmare to begin with, but yeah, doing a job at home is fine. Just kind of miss the social interaction, I guess.
I know. Yeah, it goes to the pub after work, things literally. Like that. It's that, isn't it? Yeah. I noticed that you have lots of experience at, like, I suppose, progressing throughout the industry. So do you think all of your roles that you've had in the past have aided your progression to where you are today?
Yeah, I do think so. I think, you know, being a young female in this kind of industry, it's hard to show that you have got a lot of experience because a lot of people won't take you massively seriously. And I think a lot of knowledge and experience in roles comes from kind of seeing different situations, working through different situations, working on different clients, different projects. And I think from like bouncing about into a few different roles over the last, I guess, like maybe 4 or 5 years has given me so much exposure to so many different elements of work. And my role now is kind of like a client relationship manager crossed with, you know, a project manager and kind of with an actuarial element. And I've had roles in just those specific areas in the past. So I've been an actuarial analyst, I've been a project manager, and I've been a transition manager, and my current role is kind of like an amalgamation of all of those. So I think that has helped me massively.
Definitely.
And I think, yeah, just having, working with different people, working under like, kind of like having mentors in each company I've worked with, you know, well, you'd have that one person who's going to like, you get along with, who's a bit older, and they really invest their time into you. I think having those role models in different companies has really helped as well, and learning from different people like that. So yeah, I think bouncing about for a few years has massively aided me and helped me kind of accelerate my career a lot more than I would have done had I stayed in one company.
And stayed still, I suppose. Like, because obviously sometimes staying within one company can be good because you can, there's area and there's room to progress. Yeah. But I think that probably from my research as well, it's quite known now that it's quite good to like take that little bit of a jump and go out of your comfort zone and think, all right, actually, I can try this. Yeah. And that actually might help me go on to the next role. So that is actually really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, you're right. You can... I think where I am now, you know, I can, anyone of any kind of experience in my company and any level will definitely be supported to progress. But I don't think I've necessarily had that completely. I've had it from, you know, different individuals in past companies, but, you know, Munich Re is a bit different. Like, everyone wants you to succeed. And I think that's being somewhere where you can say, okay, you know, I would stay here for a long time because I can see myself progressing. And there's so many people there who have been in the company for like, you know, 10 to 30 years. So I think that speaks a lot, speaks volumes.
Yeah, definitely. So for a role in your industry, would you recommend doing any courses or not? Do you think that, like, coming out of, like, for example, if you come out of uni or you haven't been to uni, do you think that makes a difference? Or was there any particular ones that you'd recommend?
I think so I didn't go to university and I kind of, yeah, as I said, I just kind of fell into my role, and the role I actually started in the industry with was a graduate role, but because I had to sit kind of as a series of like little tests and pieces of work before, and I did as well in them as I guess someone who was a graduate did, then that kind of helped me. I think in my role in particular, you don't necessarily need a degree. It would be beneficial for sure, because obviously it shows you can kind of reach that high level of education. And if you're doing a degree in something, you know, around business studies or actuarial science, that's going to be hugely beneficial. And it would make a real difference in the role. But I think outside of having a degree, the things that would be key for us are if you sit any kind of actuarial exams, that would help massively. Because that's a big part of our job. Any project management courses, so I've done Prince 2, so that,
yeah, I noticed,
yeah,
that.
So that's really, really useful. I think it's quite a like rigid way of managing projects, so it's quite specific to the type of projects you're working on. I think in where I am right now, you'd have to be a bit more fluid because, you know, the initiatives are ever changing. But in my past roles, say for instance when I worked in an investment bank called State Street, project like Prince 2 helped massively because the projects were so rigid and it really helped you scope it out. So kind of any project management qualifications. We also, I think my company support, like there's an institute called the Chartered Insurance Institute, and you can do kind of certificates and advanced diplomas in insurance, which I think would be really beneficial, and that's something they promote within my company and something at some point I will probably do when I get the time.
Yeah, of course. No, that's super, that's really useful, thank you. And I was just going to ask you, if someone listening today like is looking to go into insurance, or yeah, I was like looking for a role in it, what should they look to offer, I suppose, on their CV, if that be like particular like educational skills or more soft skills? Because I personally think that they can actually be more beneficial in the long run.
Yeah, I totally agree on the soft skill part. And I think for me, I would look at potential over kind of having loads of job experience or relevant job experience. I think you can have relevant job experience, and that would be great if you've got, you know, that technical knowledge going into the industry already. That's great, but you don't need it. Like if you, you know, you're intelligent, you're a fast learner, you've worked, you know, with clients before, or you're an analytical thinker, then I think that's kind of all you really need. Yeah, I think being analytical and good with people are kind of the core things you really need to go into the industry. And if you're not scared of using loads and loads of spreadsheets, it's lots of spreadsheets are used in our job. So as long as you can kind of cope with that, I think that's all we really, our company, I think that's all we really look for, someone who has potential to, you know, is keen and has potential to grow into something and is adaptable, really. So it's hard to say, because when I went into the industry I had no relevant experience, and I think I got the job based on my interview and people getting on with you. And I think a lot of times now companies look for someone who'll fit their culture and will fit into the team and, you know, not rock the boat. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a lot of it.
I always say that like when we talk about interviews, like, because obviously we're all trying to get graduate jobs and that, I always say to people, they want to be able to sit next to you every day.
Yeah, like 100%.
And be able to have a laugh with you and get on with you. Yes, the serious time, but also you have that 5 minutes where you have a little chat or you go and make a coffee or things like that. So I think that can be really important.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a really, you know, that's one of the bad things about the pandemic is people join in over a screen, and it must be, I always think this about, so your sister Izzy obviously joined during the pandemic and remotely, and I think it must be so hard to build connections with people over a screen, because most of the time people are probably just talking about work and business. And I think it's really, as you said, it's really important to have build those relationships with people. You're with them every day, you see them more than you see anyone in your life, you know.
That's the
thing, people at work
it?
Are like, yeah. The people know everything about my relationship with my boyfriend more than anyone else does, because they see me every day. And it's like, you're right, you have to have you know, be able to trust someone, have a good relationship with them on a social level to be able to work well together. And I think that's having those relationships is what makes a place good to work and a team, you know, cohesive and a good unit.
Absolutely, absolutely. From my research, I found out that it probably shocked me a little bit, but against a lot of people's expectations, data actually shows that a qualified woman who applies for a job in insurance is just as likely as a man to get hired. However, as you probably know, but people listening to this might not, obviously more males work within the finance industry. And I wondered if we could chat a little bit about that. So from your experience so far, do you feel like you have worked in a male-dominated teams or companies?
Yes, definitely. I mean, my current team right now is actually a 50-50 split, and nice. It's actually really nice. I think that's a really good mix. You know, mix of all different backgrounds and cultures, which is nice. Our particular half of the team is actually very, very female based. There's only one man on it, so we're actively trying to we want more men on the team really to kind of stop that. But previously, yes, it's felt a bit like a boys' club. You kind of have to deal with a lot of people, especially as a young female working with men who are maybe 40 plus or older than you. You have to deal with a lot of kind of sexual innuendos, people saying inappropriate things, and you've got to laugh it off, because if you don't, then you know you're not fun and you're too serious and you'll just kind of get penalized for it really. And I don't think it happens as much now, but certainly when I was younger, probably because people could get away with it more, it wasn't the best environment. And if you weren't out drinking with the men and getting drunk, then you weren't going to progress that much, because it was a bit political in some places. But now, yeah, I think things are changing. I haven't experienced that where I work now, for sure. And I do really love where I work, and I think the culture is great. Our CEO is a female. She's a great role model. She's very, very young.
Amazing.
She got made CEO, I believe, when she was on maternity leave. So that's great as well. Yeah,
wow.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, now that the gender pay gap has to be revealed, that's a huge step forward. I think that, you know, we're kind of in the Me Too era. I think people are not scared to speak up now, and they're not going to take kind of blatant sexism from people. And I think there's been a huge shift in culture over the last couple of years, and I think that's a really good thing. I think things are changing, but I do think, as I think probably as a young female entering the industry now, you probably wouldn't experience as much of kind of the hardship as I did, you know, 6-7 years ago. But it definitely does happen. So you've kind of got to get a thick skin and be bullish. But then again, why should we have to have a thick skin just for other people's benefit, you know? But I do.
I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? That question a lot of people would ask, but why, why do we? But unfortunately, it takes time. Mm. It takes new people's come into the business, patterns to change, doesn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, having strong female role models in kind of leadership positions, and I think that's a huge thing. Who aren't going to take that? And, you know, people know you'll speak up now. So our team now is the lady who leads our team is, you know, she's pretty amazing. She's a great role model as well. And I think just having females in those leadership positions makes a huge difference. And
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But I do think the industry has changed a lot in the last, you know, few years. I really think it's come in leaps and bounds. And you just gotta make sure you're in the right company that has the right culture and the right values, and that's so important.
Absolutely. I suppose when it's actually something that my boyfriend tells me, when you interview for a role, that you kind of are also interviewing them, because you need to check that you will fit with what you want to be able to give them what you want, but they also kind of need to give you what you want back. And if that's a very important value to you, I think that that's important that you then carry it forward in your career.
Yeah, 100%. And nowadays, the people coming out, you know, graduates coming out of uni are such like high caliber of people. You know, we should be wanting, you know, fresh new talent. So we need to be attractive to, and the industry, our company, like we need to be attractive to get the best people working for us. And I think our CEO now is trying to do, well, she has over the last year or two been doing a huge kind of push and changing the culture of the company. About maybe a year and a bit ago, year and a half ago, we stopped having to wear like business wear to work. You could come in, you know, anything you wanted. We now work in a WeWork office. So you've got, you know, beer taps, free food, things like that. So,
is that what it is?
Yeah, which is really great. I mean, free beer at work is amazing. And it's, she's really trying to change the culture and change how we kind of operate and attract the best, the best people to come and work for us. And most of the people, you know, that we have huge graduate intakes. So that's what we want. We want to get the best grads in, really. And you do that by offering, you know, a nice culture, relaxed culture. You know, people expect you to work hard, but you also get a good work-life balance. Work hard, play hard, literally.
That's fabulous. So are there any initiatives to, I suppose, push females into insurance that you know about? I know that, like, for example, I did a placement at Disney, and they had these things called Bergs, and it was like a Women at Disney Berg, and there was like special events and things like that. Is there anything like that that you have experienced?
So at previous employers, like, I was always invited to, you know, women in insurance events. There's actually a law firm I used to work with called Herbert Smith Freehills, and they used to host loads of kind of women in pensions and women in insurance events, and they're really, you know, really kind of celebrate that. And they actually have a podcast series out at the moment about like diversity in the industry, which I think is a really great thing. And the lady who hosts it is like a, you know, great role model. There are industries like that. There are industry events like that, and that does happen. Obviously over the last year or so, not as much because there's been a pandemic. But when you're in the industry, it is celebrated. And I think women are wanted to progress quicker, particularly because of the gender pay gaps being published. A lot of women will get kind of pushed to senior and leadership positions, and rightly so. I think, that has been a huge thing that's has changed stuff. But there are a lot of industry events, so they happen, but I think until you're in the industry, you don't know about them, you know?
Yeah, of course. No, that makes 100% sense. But I suppose it's good to know that they do happen if you were to get a role within the industry.
Yeah, and there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things around people doing, loads of different people who do TED Talks and then publish. There's a lot of good articles in Financial Times that you can read about, I guess, inclusion, diversity and kind of women and getting into financial services. So there is stuff out there.
Yeah, absolutely, thank you. So as we know, like, this podcast is all about like giving girls role models to learn from and aspire to be. So I'm actually super interested to know who your role model is. That can be within your personal life or at work, like someone that just really inspires you.
I actually think my role model is definitely my dad, because, and I always say this, because he came from, you know, not the best background, like not the most affluent, you know, he didn't have any qualifications from school, things like that. And, you know, he kind of came from nothing and has worked his way to be really, really successful in his industry. So he's a project manager, and he's worked for like all different big construction companies and worked on really huge projects. And he's now, you know, in a really amazing financial position, like has such financial freedom. And my mum has not really had to work too much in her life, and he's really just gone from nothing to everything and with not any help, and he's built that life for himself. And I don't know anyone who has done that and has been as successful as he is from nothing. So, I think that's someone I I would really aspire to be like. And I think having no degree, you kind of put in a box with some employers. Like, it is like, if you haven't got a degree, you can't apply for certain roles. So it does hold you back a bit. And that is a regret of mine. You know, at the time I didn't know what I'd want to study at university. Maybe now I would do it differently, but that's the decision I made. So yeah, having my dad kind of have no education really, but be hugely successful is something
really inspiring.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose you've kind of asked, I was just about to ask you the question of, like, now we've spoken about kind of how you've progressed throughout your career, and your history, I suppose, within the industry. Like, what would you say to your younger self now?
I would probably say to myself, like, don't feel pressured to do anything or conform just because, you know, society tells you probably you need to do X, Y, and Z, and you will be successful and you will get somewhere despite people saying you need certain credentials to do it. I had a lot of doubt in myself when I was younger because of that, and people have a lot of doubt in you, but I think you can kind of push yourself to do anything. So I just want to let myself know that, keep going, keep pushing, and you can progress as long as you put kind of the time and energy in.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, just don't let kind of men put you down, basically.
Big time.
Which doesn't, you know, it doesn't happen now, but yeah, as a young female, it's pretty hard, I think.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, as you've spoken about, I suppose the culture in the past, it probably was really difficult, and because it was accepted, it was probably, you didn't know that it was wrong, whereas now...
Yeah, absolutely. And you're allowed to be, you know, women are deemed as emotional and sensitive, and, you know, we're humans, like, we're allowed to show emotion. And if I worked with someone who didn't show emotion, I'd find it a bit odd. I think, you know, you want to be personable. Yeah. So yeah, just make sure that you don't try and curb your emotion to suit other people.
Absolutely. No, that's such good advice. That's such good advice. That's pretty much all of my questions. And normally now I do like a quick fire round of like different questions. I have been told in previous recordings that they're not that quick fire, Maddie, so you need to change the name, but I'm going to go with it. So firstly, what do you think when you hear girls in high places?
It makes me imagine basically young females, or maybe not young, but, you know, progressive young females who are in leadership positions and being good role models, basically.
Amazing. Complete the statement, never feel afraid to.
Show emotion.
That's lovely. That's perfectly fit to the theme of today's podcast. Yeah. And then this is a bit of a hard one. This is one I don't think it's a quick fire. Pick three women who you would love to have a dinner party with.
Ooh, who would I love to have a dinner party with? Amy Winehouse.
Nice.
Princess Diana.
Yeah.
Maybe my grandma's mother, because of like all the history she lived through.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's lovely. Who has been the biggest inspiration in your life?
I have a few. So probably there's a few. So like my dad, my sister, and my boyfriend. I think they've all overcome really hard and difficult situations, whether that be put on them by society or, you know, mental constraints. And they have all made me be completely better people in my life. Like, I do so much. I do a lot of stuff for charity outside of like my day-to-day job. And that's because kind of these three people have wanted me, made me want to be a better person, really.
Yeah, well, that's lovely. Yeah, I know you mentioned that when you were emailing me. So what is it that you do?
So I work at a homeless shelter, which I've done for about 4 years now, I think. So I work there every Monday. So I'll be going there later tonight.
Oh, lovely.
basically just, I guess, cooking and hanging out with the guests. And as well as that, I've mentored like youths who come from kind of poverty, to kind of stop them, not stop them, but help them like progress in like school or anything in life, and stop them getting involved in gang crime and things like that. At the moment, I can't do that because, well, I will be able to soon because we can meet up with people. But previously,
In
yeah, it kind of
prison.
curved for a bit over the pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah, which is, you don't realize how many things it has affected.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, so much has stopped and halted. And it's a shame
It
because,
is, that's what I was about to say.
yeah, I think, like, especially with this kind of mentoring program on, there are kids who need that role model and that face-to-face time with someone and a companion outside of that they may not have at home or at
Yeah, that's,
school.
yeah.
And yeah, it's sad that that's had to stop for a while, but
Yeah,
things are picking
hopefully.
back up.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely, definitely. And then my final question is, what is success to you?
To me, success is literally finding, I don't even think it needs to be happiness, but contentment in your life, and your job. You don't need to be, obsessed with the actual day-to-day work you're doing to be feel successful and happy. So yeah, it's happiness going to work every day and being around people you like being around at work, and in your day-to-day life, just surround yourself with people who are gonna make you feel great.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on today. It's been so insightful to chat to you about your industry. And
Thanks.
yeah, really to talk about females in the industry. It's been really, really great. So thank
Oh.
you.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been great to chat to you.
So that wraps up this episode, and I hope you really agree with me with how insightful and enlightening Abby was to chat to. Abby highlighted the importance of culture and community within the workplace, true realities of working as a female within the financial industry, and how the tide is turning. She also shone a positive light on how females shouldn't be ashamed of showing emotion. For more highlights on this episode, visit our Instagram at girls_inhighplaces. Thank you as ever for listening. I'll see you on the next step. Bye.